It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here as we look at a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. It reveals 3 out of 10 Wisconsinites over age 21 live within a 1-hour drive from a legally operating recreational marijuana dispensary across state lines. So we examine consumption, sales, tax revenue data from neighboring states with your questions along the way about the report's findings on access to cannabis in the upper Midwest. Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ari Brown is a senior research associate with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Ari, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
So recreational marijuana being legal in Illinois and Michigan, and we see Minnesota moving in that direction with lawmakers trying to push that through this session. Are Wisconsin residents buying marijuana out of state?
Yeah, so I think that this is the question that really motivated us to do this research. It's hard to know for sure. We don't have data comprehensively from all of those states. But we do know that Illinois tracks data from out-of-state sales overall. So that would include anyone from any state besides Illinois. And in every month since about June 2020, about 6 months into their legalization effort, every month since then, anywhere between 25 and 35% of all sales in Illinois has gone to out-of-state residents. We note in our report that Madison and Milwaukee are really two of the largest cities that are close to a border with Illinois in terms of the states that don't have legal recreational marijuana at this point in time. So there's definitely, a high likelihood that a large percentage of those sales in Illinois are going to Wisconsin residents.
Do you see, when you look at the mapping, does it look like there is a thriving business model that hugs state lines in those states to capture those customers across a border?
Yeah, so that was one of the things that we also looked very closely at, was where exactly are these dispensaries located? I think that the two that really stood out to us were both in Illinois. One was in East Dubuque, Illinois, which is kind of on that border of Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois, where all three states converge. The other was in South Beloit, obviously right next to Beloit, Wisconsin. Both of these dispensaries were less than a mile from the Wisconsin border. Really, you could be living in Wisconsin in a city right on the other side of the border and walk to these dispensaries. They were that close. So I think those two really stood out to us. There are also a number in kind of the north suburbs of Chicago that would be closer to the Milwaukee area. And then when you look at Michigan, obviously that area of Wisconsin that hugs the Michigan border is a little bit like less sparsely, more sparsely populated, fewer individuals living there. There are a number of dispensaries that are not far across the Michigan borderline as well.
Do you find that Michigan crunches numbers differently than Illinois when you gather your data to look at the impact of out-of-state purchases?
Yeah, so in terms of marijuana legalization in Michigan, there are no differing possession limits, whether you come from in-state or out-of-state. So they don't necessarily track who they're selling to. Illinois, the possession limits differ. So if you're an out-of-state resident who is purchasing marijuana in Illinois, you can only possess half the amount that they specify in state law. So because of that, Illinois actually needs to track who they're selling to. You would go to an Illinois dispensary and show an ID, and then they would determine, this is how much we're able to legally sell you. So because of that, they're able to track much more specifically what percentage of sales are going to, residents of Illinois versus residents of other states.
I'm going to reintroduce you here, Ari Brown of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, researcher looking at marijuana policy in Wisconsin and the impact from neighboring states and dispensaries there along the Illinois and Michigan border. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Ari, how is Wisconsin responding to out-of-state marijuana purchases?
I think this is another great question. This kind of legislation is something that we've seen debated pretty vigorously in Wisconsin over the last 5 to 10 years or so. You've had in each kind of legislative session, you've had certainly Democrats proposing, a number of bills, both in the state budget proposed by the governor 2 years ago and the state budget proposed by the governor just a few weeks ago. You saw efforts to legalize both medical and recreational marijuana. I think on the other side, certainly from Republican leaders, you've seen contemplation of this topic, more so when it comes to medical marijuana. There has not been a lot of momentum behind recreational marijuana from the Republican caucus in either the Senate or the Assembly thus far. But certainly towards the beginning of the year this year, we saw, items from both Leader LeMahieu in the state Senate and Speaker Voss in the Assembly mentioning how their caucuses were talking about medical marijuana. That said, it seems unlikely right now that either of the governor's proposals for medical or recreational would be accepted by the state legislature. Those are unlikely to pass right now. I think, go ahead.
I'm going to just jump in here because it seems like there have been some mixed messages from Republicans. I mean, last month, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said on our show that he favors partial legalization of marijuana.
I support a form of medical marijuana where it is very restricted. So it's only going to folks who have a true medical condition in a way that guarantees that we don't have any kind of, being taken advantage of.
But then, later in January, Voss walked that back, telling WISN-TV, said, we're not that close on legalizing medical marijuana. What are policy sticking points among Assembly and Senate Republican when it comes to medicinal marijuana?
Yeah, so I think you heard Speaker Voss mention a couple of them there. I think one of them is what qualifies as medical usage. You have states where, you don't have to have a certain condition to qualify. It would really just be up to the discretion of the doctor. You have other states that are very specific in terms of you need to have one of these specific medical conditions in order to qualify. Other items that would be important in writing a medical law are whether or not there would be a registry, how that would work, would you need to pay to be on a registry? Can medical marijuana be grown at home? And if so, what do the regulations for that look like? How are dispensaries set up? If we're looking at medical marijuana, do you have one dispensary? Do you have a dozen, a couple hundred? That really determines, that's a really big sticking point. And then is medical marijuana taxed at all? Is another big sticking point. What state agency is in charge? So there's a lot of rules and regulations here to consider. And it sounds like these are all things that the Republican caucus is considering and debating before they come forward with any sort of proposal.
It seems like you're bringing up here a lot of moving pieces and parts when you're looking at rules and regulations and what would need to be set up. Let's say a bill does pass. How soon would Wisconsin residents likely gain access to medical marijuana?
Yeah, this is a great question. And we've seen states that have already gone through this process differ very heavily. It could be set up within something like 6 to 9 months. It could also take a couple of years. You have states that have legalized marijuana for even recreational purposes that are yet to have a dispensary open. It's been a number of years. So it really all depends on the regulatory process here and what that looks like and what is written into state law.
Ari Brown is a senior research associate with the Wisconsin Policy Forum, out with a new report citing data and lessons learned from neighboring states where cannabis is legal. Be part of the conversation by calling in with your questions about marijuana. Share how you think legalization would change or not change our state. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We break down a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum that finds half of adults 21 or older in our state live within 75-minute drive from an out-of-state cannabis retailer, like, say, in Michigan or Illinois. Call in with your questions about proximity to marijuana, what you want state lawmakers to do on this. 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Policy Forum Senior Research Associate Ari Brown stays with us. Ari, let's take a look at city ordinances now. Cities like Eau Claire and Oshkosh, Milwaukee, Madison have these ordinances in place to eliminate the penalties for carrying smaller amounts of marijuana. Like in Madison, people may carry up to 28 grams of marijuana. Why are Wisconsin cities decriminalizing it?
Yeah, so this is definitely something that we've seen pick up over the last 5 to 10 years or so. Though certainly there were places in the state that had considered it beforehand. But this has really been a push at the very local level, you know, usually by local legislators saying, hey, you know, this is not something that makes our community better. We feel like this is, you know, unfairly policing certain items, and we want to have a decriminalization law on the books. So you mentioned a number of them there. You have places like Milwaukee County and Eau Claire, where there isn't necessarily full decriminalization, but you have fines at the local level being brought all the way down to $1. So just kind of recognition of the same kind of law. This, of course, wouldn't include state court costs and other items. So, you know, the overall cost for some sort of possession charge would still be higher than $1 or higher than $0. But certainly places like Madison, too, are, you know, have full decriminalization in place where you can carry and even consume cannabis in, certain parts of the city. So it ends up leading to a fairly confusing policy picture where you have state law and federal law that prohibits the possession and consumption of the substance, but then local law that treats it very differently.
Yeah, and I just wonder, do these bottom-up approach perhaps, or do these ordinances apply pressure at the state level then to make a change?
It's hard to know. You know, we've had certain places in the state that have had these laws in place for a while, and and we haven't seen that change from the state. That said, you know, as more and more cities consider this, and you know, as more and more places around the state have, you know, years of experience having decriminalization, it's certainly something that we could see happen over time.
I wonder if residents even understand the limits of municipal and community ordinances versus state law.
Yeah, I think it's a an incredibly confusing policy picture. You know, for example, Madison is a city that has a decriminalization law, but Milwaukee County has one. So you're looking at the city versus the county. The borders here are not always well understood. So you could cross a municipal border even within Wisconsin, and the laws even at the local level are very different. Of course, you have a lot of Wisconsin's population, as we note, that lives very close to the Illinois border, where, you know, the state law then changes, you know, between areas that are very heavily populated. So it's a really confusing kind of set of policy at the local versus the state level.
Let's turn to, well, actually, Sally from Oshkosh called and wants to join in here, thinks legal recreational marijuana will just never happen in Wisconsin. And Sally says this is because of lobbying from taverns and bars. Tavern lobby organizations want marijuana to stay illegal. What might be going on there? What are your insights?
Yeah, so this is definitely something that you see as part of the conversation, especially in a state like Wisconsin, where you have, you know, such a thriving industry around alcohol. You know, I think that it's something definitely to take into consideration. There are studies that show that over a certain age, a fairly young age, that marijuana and alcohol tend to be substitute products. So in general, the more consumption of marijuana you have, the less alcohol consumption you have. That's certainly, I would imagine, a concern for lobbying groups. That said, you know, I think it's something that we may see evolve over time. Certainly states that have legalized marijuana for recreational purposes have not lost their alcohol industries. You know, indeed, over the last few years, certainly since the pandemic, we've generally seen alcohol consumption increase throughout the U.S. So I think it's something interesting to consider, and definitely not a small part of the picture in Wisconsin, but certainly not something that I would imagine would prohibit it, you know, years and years into the future.
However, it does get complicated, I would imagine, under rules and regulations heading. I mean, how do states handle THC beverages and, lower potency edibles as part of their legalization?
Certainly, I think this is such a complicated part of the picture. You know, you have very few states that even take that into consideration when it comes to taxation. Illinois would be a big one. Illinois taxes marijuana differently based on the potency level. So above or below 35% THC, there are different levels of an excise tax. But yeah, I think this is something that, you know, just because of the nature of marijuana legalization right now, it's very broken up. It's very different at each state. And then you have states where it's not legal at all. And I think, you know, certain states have had, you know, most states that have legalized have had a difficult time regulating, you know, the products that that marijuana is are a part of change all the time. And you mentioned marijuana beverages. That wasn't even a thing a couple of years ago. So I think that the regulatory picture here is something that is really interesting and a really important part of this.
Ari Brown is with us, Senior Research Associate with the Wisconsin Policy Forum, as we talk about the state of marijuana policy in Wisconsin. Compared to our neighboring states, Illinois and Michigan, where recreational marijuana is legal, call in with your thoughts and questions, 800-642-1234. Audrey is with us from Eau Claire. Good morning, Audrey. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to comment on the county ordinances. I live in Eau Claire County, where people think that marijuana was decriminalized, but there's a lot of misunderstanding about what that actually means, and people will get charged with a misdemeanor and be expected to go to court, and they think that marijuana was decriminalized within the city, so they're confused about what actually happened. Thank you.
Audrey, thank you so much. I mean, there, Ari, is an example of that confusion.
Yeah, I mean, I think what a perfect example. You know, it is hard to track local legislation, I think, you know, especially when laws change so frequently. You know, you may see a story in the news about how, you know, a local city council took a vote on something. And I just don't think there's always that understanding there of, okay, what are our laws at the current moment? And depending on where I live, what are the laws? You know, where are the boundaries between the city of Eau Claire and the rest of Eau Claire County? I just think it's something that's not well understood. And when you have legislation at the local level that is so piecemeal as it is in Wisconsin, certainly you're seeing policy outcomes that like Audrey mentioned, where it's just very confusing what the laws are depending on where you are.
Can you walk us through some tax revenue and that aspect that you added up in your data, and what could Wisconsin learn from Michigan and Illinois there in taxation?
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. So in terms of taxation, there are a number of different taxes you could levy on the purchase of medical or recreational marijuana, primarily recreational marijuana. So you could levy an excise tax, which is kind of a sales tax on a product that recognizes that there are negative externalities associated with it. So it's usually a little bit higher. There's a gross receipts tax that Illinois levies. That's a tax on the producer that is usually reflected in the purchase price. I think another question that states are considering are, do local governments get to levy a tax? What are the levels of tax? So that's a really important item. And then on the other side, the revenue. So what does the revenue that marijuana generates go to?
Yes.
So in Michigan, you see their marijuana program ends up donating some revenue to local governments, to K-12 education, and to transportation. In Illinois, those items, as well as things like drug treatment, a community services fund, a budget stabilization fund, restorative justice programs that kind of deal with the past harms that were created by the prohibition of marijuana. At least that's how their state law recognizes it. So there are so many different items here involved in the taxation picture. And it really looks different depending on what state you're in. So I think that's something really interesting for Wisconsin to consider in the future.
Is the taxation picture in Wisconsin figured out in any way? Are there any projections or estimates how much revenue could be collected here?
Yeah, so in the governor's budget, his proposal does have a projection. If I remember correctly, it's fairly low. It would be less than $10 million in the first couple of years. And this is typically something that we see, that marijuana recreational marijuana legalization takes a few years to get up to kind of the full effect in terms of tax revenue. But I think it's just really hard to know without all of these individual items figured out. Just to, you know, cite one example, Illinois' tax structure for marijuana is incredibly complex. They have a number of different taxes that all go to different places. So I think that's something that would need to be figured out in Wisconsin first, and then you need to figure out all of the other kind of rules and regulations around it. But certainly it would take a few years to get up to kind of full effect in terms of total revenue.
Ari, thank you for joining us and sharing this report.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Ari Brown is a senior research associate at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We have a link to the report called Changing Midwest Marijuana Landscape Impacts Wisconsin. It's at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.